الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge in Almighty God from the devil who is cursed. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. All praise and thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God who has created the heavens and the earth, and the one whom no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God and the seal of all the prophets. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, the greetings that we hope to receive on the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, the greetings which means may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. So I begin giving praise to our Creator, the one whom all praise is due, thanking him for all of the favors that he has bestowed upon mankind, those favors that we are aware of, and those favors we're not even aware of. We thank him for that. We say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And we seek his forgiveness, we seek his mercy, and we ask that Almighty God keep us on a path that is straight, a path that is righteous, and a path that only is due to him in worship. I'll begin with a few announcements today. Hope everyone is doing well. Our first announcement is our dinner today. This is a community dinner that we're having, and it's basically a meet and greet for the Sheikh, for the Imam, Khalid Harrington, the one you heard on the radio last week. He is relocating here in our community. So we want to have some food for him today and have a forum for him today where people can come out and meet him if you have not already met him. But today, come out and meet him and have some food, and he will give a short presentation. And we will ask questions, or if you have any questions that you have for him, concerns about our community going forward, this would be a nice time to do it in a good atmosphere with people having food and sharing nice conversation. So this is at 3:30 p.m. today at 1408. This is right beside our mosque, 1410 Cemetery Avenue. Many of you already know the location. It's right beside the masjid, 3:30 p.m. Come over, bring a dish. If you can, bring a dish, and we will come over and today and meet the imam and have a nice conversation, ask any questions you like. He's going to be in our community for a while. Inshallah, hopefully he'll be here for a long period of time, but he's relocating and he's in the community to help us go forward with our community. This is the spirit of Islam. Islam is not an individual religion where you practice Islam individually on your own. Islam is it's a ummah, it's a community, it's a family, that we all work together, strive together, win together, lose together, live together, die together. This is the ummah of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So whatever asset that we can bring to our community, especially a good, knowledgeable Muslim that can come into our community and help us go forward, help us grow, then we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise and thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. So again, today, community dinner, Muslim and non-Muslim. I mean, if you just want to come out, you've heard the brother speak many times. The meal is free. You can come out, sit with us, join in with us, and have a good time, have some good conversation over some food. This is today at 3:30 p.m., 1408 Cemetery Avenue. Also, our Quran class is Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 6 p.m. I want to thank all of the people who do come out and those who occasionally come on Zoom. Reading the Quran is a must. There's no Islam without the Quran. And the more you learn the Quran, the more your heart will be attached with love to the one who sent the Quran, and that is Almighty God, the Most High, to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So if you're not where we are, or wherever you are, you should be reading the Quran, studying it, trying to understand it, trying to learn it, and try to implement it into your life. Also, we will have another event, inshallah, God willing, and this will be on 12/28, December the 28th, 25th. And this event will be called Witnessing Apartheid in Philistine, in Palestine. Witnessing Apartheid in Palestine. And this presentation will be conducted by our brother Devin Bloss. He have made two trips to Palestine, humanitarian efforts and service to the people there. And he's going to do a presentation on December the 28th in reference to his experience and his journey on that trip. He's also going to provide pictures and videos of his trip and certain things that, you know, how the people live and so forth. I'll let him really get into that. I've seen some of the pictures and the videos, and they're beautiful. And I'm pretty sure that he can provide a beautiful narrative that goes along with them. So this will be on 12/28, 25, and it will be after Maghrib. It'll be at 5, around 5:30 p.m. We'll start, and we'll go until Isha, the last prayer of the day. Again, this is 12/28/25. Devin Bloss, the Witnessing Apartheid in Palestine, and this is an eyewitness account. Also, our Friday Jumma is at 1:45 p.m., 1410 Cemetery Avenue. Everyone is welcome. Now you can go on YouTube. If you go on YouTube and put in Chattanooga Islamic Center, you can pull up the lectures. You can see them live, or you can go on there and look at some of the past videos that we have done. We did a beautiful lecture. Sheikh Khaled Harrington did Friday evening. Very beautiful talk. I think it was very beneficial in our community. We had a nice turnout. So if you, I know many people could not make it, but now you can go on YouTube and watch it. It was captured on video, so you can go on YouTube, Chattanooga Islamic Center. You can go and watch the lectures and any events that we have. Also, if you need a Quran, any type of Islamic material from us, you already know it's 100% free. We ship them all the time, free of charge. Or you can go on our website, UIDF.org, and you can look around. You can listen to lectures, radio lectures, you name it. I'm very proud of that website because it took a great burden off of me, really, because people, you know, come up to you and ask you for a copy of this or a copy of that, or why don't you do this and why don't you do that. So now all of our Juma services, our radio programs, pictures of our Dawa events, feeding the hungry people, people who are in need, all of those events and different things are on there on how to seek help. And that is a very important part of our religion, is to reach out to those who have less. Reach out to those who have less. You cannot forget about them, and they do not have to be Muslim for us to help them. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, you are not a true believer if you go to bed at night with your stomach full and your neighbor's stomach is empty. And there's so many stories of him giving charity to non-Muslims, giving them charity so much to people says Muhammad does not fear poverty. That's how much he would give away of food and camels and whatever the people needed, he would give it to them until they said, this man, Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he does not fear poverty. So this is a sunnah that we should continue to do in our community, to help the homeless, to help those who are in need of whatever we can do for them, because it is a part of our faith. And whatever we do in this life, we know that we will see it in the next life. And we ask that Almighty God accept the best of our deeds and keep us on the path until we meet him. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we return, we will get into our topic today.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May the peace and blessing be upon all of those who follow righteous guidance. Today, inshallah, God willing, I want to speak about a very, very important topic. It's one that we say every single day, we request from God every single day, and we have hope that Almighty God will fulfill our requests, and that is hoping for a mercy and hoping for a forgiveness. And Islam is a religion that is filled with mercy, and it is filled with forgiveness. Every chapter in the Quran, except one, and that is Surah Tawbah, every chapter begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of Allah, the Creator, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Or you can translate it, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, the Entirely Merciful. So every chapter in the Quran is mentioning, it opens up in this manner, reminding us that God is the most gracious. He is the most merciful of anything or any of his creation that can show mercy. So these are attributes of Almighty God: mercy, forgiveness, and so many other attributes. But today, inshallah, I just want to remind us, this is a reminder for all of us about mercy and forgiveness. And really, mercy and forgiveness is really dependent on the condition of your heart. Mercy and forgiveness depends on the condition of your heart. And I mean, if you're going to be merciful, or if you're going to be forgiving to someone, or if you're going to be kind to someone, it all depends on the condition of your heart. If you don't have faith in your heart, and this is what puts the heart in the position that it should be in, your heart should be filled with the faith in Almighty God, the remembrance of Almighty God. These are some of the qualities that the heart must be filled with in order for us to show mercy, kindness, and forgiveness to other people. I mean, this is the religion of Islam. I mean, there was a pastor one time, many years ago, I told this story before, he did a whole page, a newspaper article that said Islam, there is no mercy in Islam. He said there's nowhere in the Quran where there is mercy, mentions mercy and forgiveness in Islam. I was surprised that he even did a full page article like this, because number one, it showed me that he'd never read the Quran, because the first chapter is going to say, in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. So, you know, he had other motives to even write something that irresponsible. So I did a whole hour program on this guy, refuting what he's saying, just going through the Quran, mentioning all of the verses where Allah is speaking about mercy, about forgiveness, about the human beings should be merciful and forgiveness. Verses where God says he is the most merciful. He is the most forgiving. God says that my mercy encompasses all things. All so many verses that that are in the Quran about mercy and forgiveness, because it is an important part of our lives. So depending on what you have in your heart, it's going to determine if you're going to be merciful and forgiving and a kind person to other people. Now, we know that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, he was very merciful to people. And this is another misconception that people have about Islam, that the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, was a violent person. He did this, he did that. The history refutes that. I've done a radio program several times to show the history of how merciful this man was to believers and non-believers. So depending on what's in your heart determines if you're going to be kind and forgiving to other people. Now, let's say you don't have faith in God in your heart. You're just a person who lives your life on a whim. You don't have any structure whatsoever that you live by. And there are many people that take this position. They say, I'm not going to be put into a box and labeled and titled of a certain faith. I'm not going to do that. So you will find, especially in society today, and this is one of the reasons why you're going to witness what I'm speaking about now. If you don't have the faith and remembrance of Almighty God in your heart, then your kindness and your forgiveness that you show to other people, it's going to be seasonal. It's going to depend on what day is being celebrated. That will determine if you're going to be kind or forgiving to someone else. Because you don't have the remembrance of Almighty God. You don't have the conscience, mind, that you're going to return to God one day. And this is one of the motivating factors that make people be kind and forgiving and merciful, because we want mercy, we want forgiveness, and we want kindness shown to us when we return back to Almighty God. That's the whole reason. God says, be merciful to other people. Forgive other people. Do you not want God to forgive you and be merciful to you? So based on this statement, based on this knowledge that you know that you're going to have to stand in front of God one day for all of the misdeeds that you've done in this life, you are going to be asking for mercy. I promise you, you won't be asking for justice. You will be asking for mercy. You will be asking for forgiveness. Who can enter paradise without forgiveness? I don't care what school they've gone to, what, you know, how smart they say they are. Everyone is going to need to be forgiven. So if you don't have this remembrance of Almighty God and this faith in your heart, then you will be like most people are right now. They are kind and they are forgiving and they show mercy now because it's seasonal. And this is the season and the month to be merciful and forgiveness and forgiving. But what about the other 11 months of the year? And we can back up and say the other 10 months of the year, because people begin to be a little more kind and merciful around October, November, going all the way up to December. They start getting rowdy again and selfish again around January, getting on into the year, because you're leaving those merciful months, October, November, December, because it's celebrated. You know, it's expected for you to be this way. But what about that kindness and mercy and forgiveness in February, in March, in April, in May, in June? What about that? So all of the people who need the kindness, who need the mercy, who need the forgiveness, who need the resources, they go without. And this is why you have so much suffering in the cities, suffering in communities, with mental illness and all other type of illness that's going on in the community, the homelessness. People don't have food, they don't have shelter, they don't have medical care, they don't have many things, because we're not in the season for forgiving and mercy and kindness. And that's tragic. So Islam says that you have to be merciful and forgiveness on a continual basis. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, it is reported that he said, it's better to give a little on a continual basis than giving a lot every now and then. So Almighty God teaches us that the only way that you can condition yourself to be the human being that he has created us to be, and that is one who surrenders our will to his will, is that you have to have certain qualities. The heart has to be repaired with certain qualities in order for you to get in the position or get on the level of being a kind and merciful person. And this is really a serious topic today, because you can pray all day if you want to pray all day if that's your thing, and you can shout all day if that's your thing, and you can profess that you love God all day. You can do that, or you can dress up like you do, but none of that matters when it comes to your actions. And you find a lot of people who profess externally through their dress, through their speech, you know, through them professing to be something that they're not, are some of the most stingiest and selfish people in the world. And that's a fact. Because on the outside, they present a certain look to people. But what's in the heart is the reality of who they are. And that is a fact. So it's not so much how you look on the outside. What matters is what's happening on the inside. One of the companions of the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, his name was Umar. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, if you take care of what is on the inside, meaning the heart, the outside will take care of itself. So if the heart is good, the external presentation of who you are is going to be good. But if the heart is fake, if the heart is weak with faith, then the presentation on the outside, your actions, what I mean, your actions are also going to be fake. You're going to wait till October, November, December in this area in order to be kind, forgiving, and merciful. But when the heart is good and it's filled with faith, it doesn't matter what day it is, what month it is, your character is going to be excellent. Why? Because you have a fear of Almighty God. You want to please God. And there are certain qualities that will help the heart get in this type of condition in order for you to be a forgiving and a merciful person to other people. So I did a little talk this morning at our morning prayer. And one of the hadith of the talk that I spoke about is that when you love Almighty God for his sake and his sake alone, then Almighty God will love you. This is one of the hadith that I read this morning. Wealth is in the heart and poverty. If wealth is in the heart and poverty is in the heart, then these are things that will divert the heart from the remembrance of Almighty God. And this is what God really tells us in the Quran. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, it is reported that he's saying, Almighty God says, my love is assured for those who love each other. My love is assured for those who love each other. Meaning that if you love your brother or your sister solely for the sake of Almighty God, then God will love you. See, this is when the heart is running smooth. It's running on faith. When you love your brother or your sister solely for the love of Almighty God, then God says he surely loves you. And he said, those who love each other for my sake and who sit together for my sake, then God, in return, he loves you. And those who visit each other for my sake, meaning that you're going to visit someone just to say, Salaam alaikum, how are you doing? You're not visiting them because they owe you something or you have to give them something. You're just visiting them for the sake of Almighty God. God says his love for you is assured. And he said, whoever spends on your brother or your sister, whoever gives money or spend on them, helping them out, just for the pleasure of Almighty God, God says his love is assured for you. So I want to mention a few qualities that can help the heart. And, you know, the heart is such a magnificent muscle in our body. That the prophet, peace and blessing upon him, said that if the heart is good, the whole body is good. But if the heart is bad, the whole body is bad. So we should make an effort to keep our heart healthy. And I'm not talking about eating right. Because you can eat right all day long. You can jog all day long. You can be the best person when it's dealing with health all day long. But your heart still can be sick. There's a lot of healthy people out there with sick hearts. I'm speaking spiritually, because this is what matters. The physical part, it doesn't matter more than the spiritual part of the heart. Because it is the heart that contains the belief in Almighty God. It's the heart. And if you're around a person any amount of time, believe me, you can tell from their disposition, from their character, from their language, the way they treat people, you can tell what's going on in their heart. Because if the heart is good and it's flourishing with faith, it's flourishing with the belief and the remembrance of Almighty God, you're going to tell that from this person, the way he treats people or she treats people, how they speak to people, or they're careful in doing things they should not do. You know, you can tell that they're very humble and strong people. They don't want to hurt anyone, harm anyone. Why? Because the heart is good. They remember Almighty God and they fear Almighty God. So one of the greatest things, and I want to mention a few qualities to help the heart. You know, this is something better than putting a stent in your heart or having open heart surgery. Many people do. You have medically, I'm not against it, but people have to do many medical things to help the heart, to keep us alive. But what do we do spiritually? What type of nutrition do we give our heart spiritually to keep us on the path of righteousness? To keep us in the framework of mercy and forgiveness. Number one, and this is the most important quality that one must have in his heart. You can look at the heart like a toolbox, because you have many tools in a toolbox and they all serve a certain purpose when you need them. You don't need all of them all the time, but when you need them, they're in the box for you to get. It's better than not having them in your toolbox when you really need it. Like my father used to tell me when we was going fishing or something, it's a nice sunny day. But he said, get your coat, get your hat, get this, get that. I said, why is it? He says, better to have it than not to have it if the weather turned cold, if it start raining. And that was a beautiful lesson that I've never forgot. So when you have what you need in your toolbox, whether you need it now or later, it's there if you need it. So the number one thing that has to be there, if nothing else is in there at all, your belief in Almighty God, the oneness of God. La ilaha illallah, there is only one God, has to be the foundation in the heart. If the heart does not have this belief, then the whole body is destroyed. It's like trying to give CPR to a person who doesn't have a head. And I've given this example many times. You can't help them. Whatever you do, you can't help them. So if the heart is void of the oneness and the belief of Almighty God, then nothing else is going to produce that's beneficial in the heart. You have to have this. And unfortunately, you have many people today who deny that there is a God, who deny that there is a creator, who deny that there's a being, a creator that created them, they deny this. So that is a heart. That's an empty heart. That's like a toolbox with no tools at all. It's empty. Nothing is there. Nothing is there. You just have the container. There's nothing to work with. So the most important thing that a person has to have in their heart in order to initiate that fire of remembrance, of forgiveness and kindness, they must believe in the oneness of God. They must believe that God is one. He has no partners. He has power over all things, over life and death. And when you got that, now you have, you know, how you try to, you do that furnace in the winter, you have to go back and light that pilot light. If it goes out, if that light goes out, you're not going to get no heat anywhere. That light has to be burning all the time, every day, every minute, every second, every hour of the day. That light of the oneness of God, la ilaha illallah, it has to be there all the time. If it goes out, then it's like you're dead. Because we're told that the remembrance of Almighty God, the example or the analogy of the remembrance of Almighty God, is like the living and the dead. Those who remember God, they represent the living. Those who deny God, don't remember him, they represent the dead. So that is the first quality that one must have in their hearts in order to initiate this faith of kindness and forgiveness. Another one is to believe in the day of judgment. That has to be in your box. To believe that there is a life after this life. If you don't believe that there is a life after this life, then you don't believe in any accountability. And this is why many people in the world today do so much evil. They're irresponsible. They do evil because they believe that there is no accountability for them after death. They believe that after, when they die, that's it. So therefore, that gives them the freedom in this life to do evil, to live any way they want to live, because they don't believe they're going to be accountable for anything. But if you believe in your heart that after this life, you're going to be resurrected and you're going to have to answer to your Creator for the things you've said and done and treated people in this life, then that's going to soften your heart and keep you in remembrance of Almighty God, to keep you to be and to help you to be a righteous, good human being. See, that's always in the back of our mind. Believe it or not, if you truly believe in God, I have never met a person who don't always remember, or it's in the back of their mind, or what's motivating them to do the extra good deeds in this life is because they know they're going to be raised up again. That has to be in the box. That has to be in the heart, to know that God is going to wake you back up one day. Don't think because you're dirt and you've dissolved into the earth that God cannot bring you back again. Don't be that foolish. Because there were people who said that. How can God bring us back again when we're dust and bones? And God says in the Quran, tell them, did I not create you in the beginning, in the first place, when you were nothing? Surely I can bring you back again. God created you when you were nothing. And because you're dirt and bones, you don't think that God can bring you back again? God can just say, kun, be, and you would be right back again. So don't think because when we die, you're not going to wake up again. You will wake up again. You will wake up again, and it won't be in this world. But you will wake up again. And when you have this in your mind every single day, and you know you're going to have to go to court and stand in front of the one who knows all your secrets, all of your actions, all of the intentions that you've had in your heart, then this is a motivator for us to say, oh God, help me. Help me to remember you. Help me to be thankful to you. And help me to perfect my religion every single day. Oh God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Save me from the fire. Let me enter paradise through your mercy. See, this is all day. Oh God, give me good in this life. Give me good in the hereafter. And save me from the fire. See, this is all day long, remembering God all day long like this. Why? Because you're going to have to stand in front of him. Oh God, help me to be merciful to people in this life so that you can be merciful to me in the next life. Help me to forgive and overlook the deeds of others, and help me to keep my own self in account. This is some of the prayers that we want to make every day. Glory be to you, God, the Most High. Glory be to you, the Most High. Glory be to you, the Most High. You want to say that every day. Why? Because we want to please the judge that we're going to return to. Now, if you don't believe that you're going to return or you're going to wake up after death, then that's your risk that you're taking. But like the great Ahmed Didat once told a guy, he said, okay, let's say that there is no judgment. And I've lived my life married, not being a womanizer. I've lived my life not drinking alcohol and smoking and using drugs. I've lived my life without harming people. I live my life trying to do good and, you know, help people when I can. He said, let's say there's not a judgment day, but I've lived my life in this way. And he said, when I die and I find out there's no judgment, he said, what have I lost? What did I lose? I lived a good, healthy life. I lived a good spiritual life of hope. But he said, in your position, because this guy didn't believe in God, or he didn't believe in the hereafter. He said, in your position, let's say, for the sake, you don't believe in the hereafter, and he didn't. And he said, you lived your life fulfilling all of your desires. Whatever you saw, you went after. You had the women that you wanted. You had the money that you wanted. You ate whatever you wanted. You dressed the way you wanted. You treated people any way you wanted to. Now, let's say when you die, and there is a judgment, a paradise and a hellfire. He said, can you even imagine the condition that you're going to be in? Who's going to be the greatest loser? He said, me or you. It would be the one who didn't believe in the day of resurrection. So you have to believe in the day of resurrection. And this is one of the things that conforms the heart. It conforms the heart, where the heart is pumping out the surrendering to Almighty God, the remembrance of Almighty God. So this is another thing, a quality that we must have in our heart. And I'll add to that, another remembrance that we also must keep in our minds, that we must believe that there is a hellfire. Why? Because we don't want to go there. That's why we believe in it. We believe it exists because God tells us it exists. And that's why we say, oh, God, save us from the fire. So those two things must be in your toolbox, must be in your heart. Believing in the resurrection, believing in paradise, and believing in the hellfire. Another thing that has to be in our heart that condition us day by day in this world. Some people say it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And that is, we must love what Almighty God loves, and we must hate whatever he hates. We have to condition ourselves for that. That we have to condition our heart to hate whatever it is that God hates in this world. Some people say, well, God don't hate anything. Really? God does not hate sin. God does not hate that people disobey him. People say hate is a strong word. Well, is hate stronger than the fire? That's how much God disliked people disobeying him. He's going to send you to something that you say that's a harder word or too strong of a word to describe how God feels about you. They say, well, God loves everyone. Did he love Pharaoh when Pharaoh disobeyed him? Did he love all of the generations of the disbelievers that he destroyed with the flood, with winds, with tornadoes, with the rain? Is that how he treat people he loved? No, these people disobeyed God. They rejected him. And that's why God says they will be in the most severe place in the hellfire on the day of judgment. So God loves those who love him. God wants you to love him, and he wants to love you. That's the condition. So we love what God loves, and we dislike what he dislikes. Whatever it is that God loves righteousness. He loves truthfulness. He loves for us to surrender our will to his will. He loves obedience. He loves forgiveness, and he loves kindness. He loves mercy. He loves good morality. This is what God loves. And so we should love these things in life. If you're loving something that God dislikes, I mean, if you have a issue with something that God loves, then that's a clear sign that it's something wrong with the heart. So it's nothing wrong to say we love what God loves. We with him. And whatever he says is good in this life, we say, yes, we love that. Whether it tastes good, feel good or not, we say we accept it. Some people say, I'm not going to ever get married. God loves for us to get married. Some people hate marriage. Should we hate marriage? No, marriage is good. So whatever it is that God loves, we love. And whatever it is he hates, we hate. We should hate it. And when you condition your heart in this position, then this is a good sign that God is loving you. Whatever it is and whoever it is, it can be even your own relatives. If they're doing things that Almighty God dislike, you should dislike it. There's no favoritism when it comes to worship in Almighty God. There is no favoritism in that manner. So this is one of the big things that we should condition our heart, because especially during these times we're in right now, people favor more sentimental actions and cultures rather than obeying Almighty God. And I could get into some lengthy things right now, but I just want to stay on the program. Because people have let their emotions, their sentiments of how they feel about certain people, their mothers and their fathers and their brothers and their sisters, they let that overshadow their rationale to surrender to what God has said to surrender to. So they say, this is my mother, this is my father. I have to join sides with them on this. That's a mistake. Because going back to the resurrection and the day of judgment, who do you want to be with after this life? Whoever you join with in this life, whoever you associate with in this life, whoever you are tied to in this life, that is who you will be with in the next life. That's right. I mean, it would be total hypocrisy for you to not even want to associate with people who believe in God and want to worship God in this life, and then expect to, on the day of judgment, God is going to raise you up with those people that you didn't even like in this life. You rejected and despised the way they lived in this life. You thought that was old-timey, antiquated to be praying all the time and wearing clothes like that. You know, who want to be doing that all the time? You know, not having no fun or nothing like that. So you join the people who live the free life. So now on the day of judgment, God is going to put you with these people you despised in this life. That's like what people say at funerals when I was growing up. Man was a drunkard, fought all the time, went to jail all the time. And people stood up in the church and said, he's with God. He's with the angels. You know that ain't right. That don't even make sense. He wasn't with the God-fearing people in this life. And they stand up and say, he's with the Lord. Now you know that's not right. So whoever you want to associate with, be careful. Because that's who God is going to raise you up on, raise you up with on the day of judgment. Another component that we must have in our toolbox, in our hearts. And that was for us to be what? Getting back to the theme here. To have mercy, to be forgiven, and to be kind. One of the other ingredients that conforms the heart to surrender easily is to be grateful and to express your gratitude to Almighty God every single day. A heart that is grateful. That's why we say, oh God, we seek refuge in you. From a heart that is ungrateful. We don't want a heart that is ungrateful. Ungratefulness detach you from Almighty God. It detach you from the remembrance of Almighty God. This is ingratitude. Anyone who is ungrateful, then this is a sign that you are on the path of the devil, Shaitan. The devil, boy. The devil was ungrateful. He was the epitome of ungratefulness. And I could get into a little lengthy thing with that, but we won't. But we know his story. We know what God blessed him with. And then he disobeyed God. And not only did he disobey God, but he wouldn't even ask God for forgiveness. Think about that. So we know the outcome and we know the end of his story. But in order for us as human beings today to shape our hearts and to be kind and forgiveness and having forgiveness the way Almighty God wants us to be, not seasonal. And this is important. Your love for people, your love for your community, you giving someone something to help them, it should not be seasonal. See, this is how Shaitan has shaped the minds of people. He shaped their minds in such a way that their minds have become slaves to him. Yeah, you think it's just commercialized, but it's not just commercialized. It's associating partners with God. It's not just commercialized because everyone is a slave to something. You can call yourself a free person all you want, but all of us are slaves to something. And if you're going to be a slave to something, meaning that you're going to obey something, it should be Almighty God. Because many people are slaves to many things. They deny it, but they are. They're slaves to their appetites. It can be, you can be a slave to education. You can be a slave to your job. You got to have 5 jobs. You can be a slave to your wife. You can be a slave to your husband. You can be a slave to your children. You fulfill all of their desires, whatever they want, you give it to them. You can be a slave to many things. But when you are a slave to Almighty God, meaning that you only going to surrender your will to the will of God, then you are not a slave to anything else except the one who created you. And if you're going to be a slave, who's better to be a slave to than the one who created you? All of these other things I mentioned cannot help you at all. These are the things that are diverting you from the remembrance of God, from keeping you from being free. Who said, know you the truth, and the truth will set you free? Who said that? Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary. It is reported that he said, know you the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you're a slave to all of these things I'm mentioning, then you don't have the truth. You don't have the truth. If you have an addiction to these things, you surrender your will to them, then you don't have the truth. Allah says in the Quran that they have become slaves to their priests and their rabbis. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, explained it. They said, how can that be that they worship them? He said, because when God tells them to do something, they say, well, my pastor said this, or my priest said this, or my rabbi said this, and they follow those people rather than following Almighty God. So therefore, they have obeyed them. You see how easy that you can slip off the road there? So being grateful, having gratitude, that is one of the biggest things that you can put into your toolbox. And we've mentioned two or three this morning. Another one that we can do real quick is to have sincerity in your heart, to be committed, having commitment to who? To Almighty God first. Sincerity. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, it is reported that he said, actions are but intentions, and everyone will receive what they intend in this life. Beautiful statement. Actions are but intentions, and everyone will get what they intend. So if you intend to do something for someone, and you're doing it to please Almighty God, then you get the reward for that. But if you do something for someone and your intentions is not to please God, but it is to post it on Facebook and get some likes. You know how people do today? They go to a homeless camp somewhere or find somebody on the street and they give them a cup of coffee or something to eat, and they take a selfie, a picture, have someone take a picture of them giving the person on the street a plate of food, and they post that. I mean, how artificial is that? The best deeds that are done sometime in private where no one see it except Almighty God. But if you out trying to post up on people just to put on Facebook so people can say, oh, wow, man, look, he's feeding up. He's feeding a person who's homeless, or he's feeding this person who don't have. Oh, he's such a righteous person. Oh, alhamdulillah. That's artificial. Your intentions are not right. You don't get credit for that, because it's called showing off. And showing off is a sin. You do things to try to impress people when you should be doing something to try to impress your Lord. All of those people who are liking you on Facebook and Twitter and all of these other things, I'm going to bring up resurrection again. You're not going to return to them when you leave this world. God is not going to ask you, how many likes did you get for feeding that person? He's not going to ask you that. No, that's not even going to come into the equation like that. Because God knows your heart. Your heart wasn't right when you went out to try to feed somebody or try to give somebody some money or do something. Your heart wasn't right. So do you get credit for that? No. Like we're told in a very beautiful hadith of one of the first people that will be brought up on the day of judgment will be a person who knew the whole Quran by memory. And God will show him the favors that he had blessed him with and ask him, what did he do with them? And the person going to say, I learned the Quran. I taught it to people for your sake. God going to say, you lied. You learned the Quran so people would say you a good reciter. And that's what the people said. And then he will order the angels to take this person to the hellfire. Think about that. You are getting what you wanted. You wanted the people to say, I'm a good Quran reciter. just like the person feeding someone to post up on social media. You're going to get that. You're going to get that type of admiration from those people because that's what you wanted. But what are you going to get from God? Nothing. Because the sincerity was not there. So sincerity and commitment is everything. And in our religion, Islam, everything starts with intentions. I intend to fast. I intend to make ablution. I intend to make my prayer. I intend to, whatever we do in our religion is coming with intent, because we want our intent to be pure solely for the sake of Almighty God. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, heard a man bragging on another man one day, telling him, "Oh, you such a righteous man. You such a good Muslim." And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "You have just cut your brother's throat. You have just cut his throat." Why? Because bragging on this man, giving him so much admiration, is maybe will affect his mentality to make him feel that he is good, that I am good. I am a righteous person. And this is pride. You know, this is the way you're giving Shaitan, the devil, something to work with to destroy this brother. "Oh, you're such a good man or a good sister. You don't miss any prayers. You give so much money in charity." The Prophet said, "You would just cut their throat." Because now they might begin to think they are good. And who knows who's good and who's not? The best, we're told that the best among the believers are those who are more righteous to their Lord. And who is the inspector to know who is more righteous except Almighty God? I have almost 15, probably 25 more qualities here to mention that we can use in our heart to conform it, to make it submit to the will of Almighty God. But we don't have time. So I pray that something I said today, if it benefited anyone, it is from Almighty God. And the first one that this message was for me, because I should practice what I preach. And if it's any mistake that I made today, that's definitely from me. So we ask Almighty God to forgive us, have mercy upon us, that we can be kind, that we can be forgiving and merciful to each other, and that may he give us good in this life and good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for